Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Kevin, have you had a chance to listen to our last podcast about Springtime for Hitler?
Listen to it? I edited it. And I, for one, for instance, never realized the American apartheid has been happening for generations.
Yeah, how about that? So we'll look up more?
Look up more? Of course not. The world is so depressed, with events that got us stressed, it's hard to get a listener in this way. Shows should be more witty. Shows should be more gitty. Shows should be more what's the word?
Gay?
Exactly. No matter what you do on airwaves, keep it light, keep it bright, keep it gay. Whether insurrection or outbreaks for days, don't complain, it's a pain, keep it gay.
People want laughter when listening to shows. Instead, we bring history that they need to know.
A happy ending can come in this way.
76 is a hit.
'Cause they cut out truth shit.
Keep it light, keep it bright, keep it gay.
And as always on our podcast is Chris, our sound recorder.
Hi, keep it hairy, keep it sweary, keep it gay. And our creator, Kevin.
Hello, keep it chewy, keep it truthy, keep it gay.
We're clever, creative, it's our job, you see. That research is perfect to show history.
Kevin, I couldn't agree more. So more venturing down the rabbit hole?
I thought we were going to make a show of silly entertainment. Shows like Mamma Mia, Brigadoon, or Painter Wagon.
Why not? Think of the community impact.
No.
Think of the prestige.
No, no, no.
Think of the... Webby.
Webby, 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 Webby.
Oh! Oh my God, Kevin is having a stroke of genius!
I can see it. People going into commutes to work.
Kevin and Chris present history.
A long, long commute that has lots of stops along the way.
Kevin and Chris present history.
Welcome back, folks, to another edition of Talking Musical History, where we talk the producers. I am Kevin.
And I'm Chris. Real pleasure to continue this. That being said, we're going to be going through the darker ideas around the producers and sort of its existence. I think about the first time I watched the producers, and I didn't see the producers wasn't the first Mel Brooks thing that I saw, actually. Like Blazing Saddles and Spaceballs I saw long before I saw producers. And honestly, I don't think I saw producers until I was in college. And in college, I learned this very interesting idea. So like there's this thing called like a film guarantor. OK. And so like the idea behind that is that like when you're about to make a movie, you have to have someone help finance that process.
A backer.
You need a backer. Yeah. I mean, they don't have to be little old ladies, but they could be if you wanted them to be. But usually people go through like banks or like some sort of financier of some sort instead of like, you know, stupid old ladies. But that's neither here nor there. The idea is that like you get this backer to sort of front the money for the film. And like if the film does well, you know, like, you know, they get their money back and everything is fine. But if the film flops, they basically just pay off all the debts, right? And so that's why, like, when I first saw this, I was like, oh my gosh, well, of course, like, someone who doesn't want to make legitimate art would think to themselves, oh, this sounds like a great money-making opportunity. I could just, like, pad the whole process and, like, you know, run off to Rio. And honestly, the better game would be to just, like, make marginal work, So at least you can like rake in some like consistent level of funds. But whatever, we're not thinking rationally. We gotta get as much money out of the system as we can, I guess, because capitalism.
Money, money, money.
Yeah, right. Oh my gosh, it should have been a song about his greed instead of him stupping all those old ladies. Right? Because that's really the one element of that film that's not really outlined is their greed.
I think I understand why it's not, though.
Why?
Because they're Jews.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. You're right. Yeah. You're right. That, God dang it.
Jews are not going to make a show about Jews singing about how much money they want.
Oh, did I just, was I accidentally anti-Semitic? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
It fits with the story.
This, not my intention. That being said, it does fit with the story. That being said, like, I get why it's not there.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. Well, if you change the characters, I guess.
I mean, they're the show's written to be Jewish.
No, I know the show's written like, to be 100%. Jewish.
Like, 100%. There's like,
no, and that's why it's really weird. That's why they think it would flop, because like the Gentiles would know that it would. Yeah. I don't know why he's in style ever. He should never be in style. What the hell? You know, initially I thought the idea around the producers is like you kind of fake it till you'll make it sort of thing, but they're not ever trying to make it. They're just faking it so they can run off with the money.
To Rio, Rio by the Sea-ho.
I want to be a producer seems so disingenuous with the way that it ends, right? But like, honestly, if you think about it, a lot of producers don't really get the art around like making a good piece. They only want to make money. So I guess like he thinks he wants to be the producer that he sees versus the producer he should be that makes good work. And that's why you do a show like Springtime for Hitler, because you don't care about the work. You're just trying to make money, or at least raise money in their case, because they weren't really trying to make money. They were hoping they weren't going to make money and then made money. Yeah. But, you know, that's like one of those like falling up sort of things. That
is unhappy accident.
You know, I get the idea of like the committing this fraud, because, you know, honestly, like around this, America has a ridiculous history around fraud. I mean, if you think about it, like, you know, the Brooklyn Bridge or like the Ponzi schemes or even like Enron or things like that. And we're not going to like obviously rabbit hole on any of those topics. But like if you think about it, like America has a deep tradition of fraud, and The Producers is really just a film that's great at illuminating that. So you have like groups like the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and like QAnon and all of that, and like they're all sort of like swirling around this white supremacist ideology. And I understand some people are like, oh, white supremacy, who cares, you know, I'm a white guy, I don't care. If you have parts of the society trying to blow up other parts of the society, like, you may not think it's going to affect you because they're not blowing you up directly, but like if you try to drive through that neighborhood or like try to move through existence and there's all of this destruction around because of the war zone, no one can get their stuff done. We're all working on the same ship, trying to sail this ship to success. Someone's like pissed off at the folks that work in the galley, so they like poison all the food. That's just gonna affect everybody on the ship. Even if you know not to eat it, even if you tell everybody else not to eat it, like the people that don't work on the ship is going to affect the overall performance of that ship. You want it to be successful, I would hope. I would hope people want things to be successful.
You want to see people succeed.
I would hope so. I don't know. Is that like controversial to say?
I know I want to see people succeed as best they can. As long as it's not to succeed and wipe out the human race, that's when I don't want people to succeed.
Well, and that's why you can't like sort of like tease around a Nazism. Like, you know, you have like a Prince Harry wearing like a swastika, and like later on, like, you know, his wife is, you know, she's a minority. So, well, his wife is, you know, African-American. And you have to think about it, right? Like, because that sort of behavior sort of gives a pass for other people's behavior that might affect something that you might want in the future to work well, right? And that's sort of the weird idea around it. And like, the whole ideology of just saying like we want to oppress a people, we want to lock a people away, we want to like eliminate a group of people without like acknowledging their contributions to the world, it's just like really beyond my understanding. You know, the power of Nazi propaganda should be like watched out for, because it's a continuous thing that you have to like be aware of, and like sort of throwing it out, playing with it like it's some sort of like frivolous thing without going through the process of like really examining it, I think is problematic.
Don't be stupid. Be a smarty. Come and join the Nazi party.
Like, if you look at, like, Blazing Saddles in comparison to this, like, I think he does a really good job of, like, A, like, humanizing Black Bart, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, also just, like, pointing out how stupid racism is. But in this, who has a consequence?
They end up in jail.
For a little bit.
But then the jail likes what they're doing, and they get let out.
Yeah. Well, where's the consequences? Franz Lipkin, what, shoots at them, right? Does he actually hit anyone with his gun?
No, he shoots, but nobody gets hit.
So, like, he shoots at them, and obviously, you know, attempted murder, but, like, whatever. I guess, like, the worst thing that really happened in the show, if I think about it, the worst thing that happened in the show is he defrauded all those old ladies.
Well, as Max Bialystock put it, it's one last thrill before the grave.
Thinking of, oh, like, you know, if I can, like, make more money just, like, making a bunch of nonsense. And then I think to myself, like, why Nazis, though, right? Like, I mean, you think about, like, first off, Americans will make any nonsense a success, right? I mean, you think about the Pet Rock, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they could have made a musical about the Pet Rock, right? Like, you would think that would be bound to fail, but in 1975, Gary Dahl made $4 million in 1970s money with the Pet Rock. $4 million,
the
right?
Pet Rock? The musical?
No, like, well, the actual Pet Rock. So, but, like, I would think that Americans would probably accept a Pet Rock musical. Because, like, a Pet Rock could sell for $4 million. They could probably, like, make millions of dollars making the musical about, like, the Pet Rock, not the Pet Rock, obviously, but, like, a rock or anything. It could be literally, if you could make a awful, boring musical about anything, right? Like, obviously, Paint Your Wagon might be. don't give fuel to Nazis. Not without going through the process of explaining in your show why they're awful. You can't have them win the war specifically. Like, I'm sure that was part of why people loved it too, because they knew it was a farce because they didn't win. And so that helps promote them and make it seem like, oh, well, all these people agree with this. Then maybe it should have happened that way. That's stupid.
Well, it's like All in the Family. Archie Bunker, the lovable bigot.
Yeah, right.
And then he goes on to win America's heart, and some people got the joke. Some people got it. They're like, it's a funny, you know. And other people thought that he was legitimately like, yeah, this guy speaks for me. You know. Yeah.
The difference with that is like they try to like show the human side of other people and pair that with Archie Bunker to sort of like create a sort of new story. And yeah, there are definitely people that sort of could connect and agree with Archie Bunker, but at least it gives them a pathway to see something different.
Correct.
And I don't see Springtime for Hitler doing that, or the producers for that matter. Cause like, you know, like no consequences. Springtime for Hitler makes Hitler look silly, but I don't know if that's enough.
There's enough about him looking silly.
I mean, if you really want to look into history, there's tons of stuff about him being silly, but I mean like not on purpose, cause he just didn't get it. Yeah, my mom actually brought up a really interesting point, right? Like, so you have Max Bialystock, who really used to be someone reputable, I guess, because he was the first time to do theater in the round in the square, right? No, he was the first one to do theater in the square, right? So obviously a theatrical innovator.
Nobody had a good seat.
Nobody had a good seat, right? There are certain companies that actually do that sort of thing. They like start off as like these great innovators, you know, like if I think about like GE, right? Like everyone used to think GE is quality, and sometimes GE seems a little
lackluster.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, that doesn't have to be like you can choose to not try to defraud people after you've created a great name. You can choose to like do awesome things and try to do awesome things and partner with other people. Cause like, obviously, Max and Leo had chemistry and they could make legitimate good work, but they chose not to. And that's sort of the underlying story, I think, which is kind of sad. Because, you know, if they had the integrity to, you know, try to do things better and make a better show, they could have tried to make a good show instead of trying to, like, could you imagine? But then there would be no story. There would be no musical. But I think the story behind that, I think, is an interesting thought. So there's a song that Mel Brooks made for the movie To Be or Not to Be that's kind of directly related to the producers, obviously, because, you know, you still have the whole, like, theaters producing Hitler. So he made this song for it because I guess in the 80s, everyone was making stupid movie-based songs. Oh, I'll just read the lyrics. Well, hi there, people. You know me. I used to run a little joint called Germany. By the way, this is a rap. I'm not going to rap it for real because I can't. Anyway, I mean, not that I don't have the ability to. I can flow if I want to, but I'm not going to on this.
This isn't even Sondheim's witch's rap.
I mean, you know, Mel, I love you, but come on. You could do a little bit better than this, Bobola. I used to run a little joint called Germany. I was number one, the people's choice, and everybody listened to my mighty voice. My name is Adolf, I'm on the mic. I'm gonna hip you to the story of the new Third Reich. I think the truth about this song specifically and the thing that it bothers me is, like, there's nothing very silly in the lyrics, right? Like, a lot of people talk about how it's important, like, to mock Hitler in, like, Hitler satire, right? That's how you remove power from the person, right? Like, sad to say that you don't really see that at all in this rap, in my opinion. I don't know.
In World War II, English people were hired to write jokes about Hitler.
Really?
We can't win a debate with folks like that, but you can laugh at him.
You can always laugh at him. He's right about that. Yeah, like, but and that actually, Kevin, brings me to my problem with this particular song. I think the only thing that he's saying is that, like, the reason why this is silly is it's he made it a hip hop song. Okay, but do you understand that, like, there's nothing inherently silly about a rap about Hitler other than it being hip hop, which is racist? Like, at least the lyrics should reflect some sort of, like, satire itself,
yeah.
Like his actual movie does.
You know, it made me think about the Othello rap. It really did. I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with the Othello rap.
It's from the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you were mentioning that.
Was in high school. And I remember sitting next to an African-American woman with me viewing this in the theater. When it came to Othello, they clearly said, well, obviously, we are racially challenged in this. And the fact that we do not have, as you can see, a black person in our crew. We are all pasty as white can be.
And they overcame this obstacle by
rapping about Othello.
Oh, okay, just rapping about, yes, Othello. There was no random black face, which is really where I thought things were going to go.
But the reaction of the African American woman sitting next to me was, "Oh, okay, so they're going to rap. That explains that."
Do you? So she literally had the same feeling that I had.
That's why I bring that up.
That's funny. Back to the whole to be or not to be thing. Because, like, the lyrics that people actually probably more than likely don't know other than the Othello rap is the lyrics to Mel Brooks' song To Be or Not to Be. Well, let's look at these lyrics together, Kevin. Have you seen anything that's, like, of note that you want to mention on this song? I got a one-way ticket to Argentina, to be or not to be, oh baby, can't you see? We've got to make it to the top.
Hey Marty, why don't we throw a little Nazi party? We had an election, well, kinda, sorta. And before you knew it, hello, new order.
We had an election, well, kinda, sorta. Huh. I wonder what that's in reference to. Specifically, like, the ideas of this show thinking about Hitler, but also in kind of, like, weirdness thinking about Donald Trump as well, right? Like, how kind of buffoonish he is, honestly, if you think about it, right? Let's get back to talking about this rap. All right. You know, mentions of Himmler and Hess and, like, all of these different things. And, like, it's not like a repudiation of Hitler. It's like nowadays, I'm sure people, like, look at these lyrics and they're like, oh, that's cool. It's like a very neutral thing that we can, like, hip hop around with. No one ever says it like that. I know.
It's a lesson in. So here's where I came up with the connection
with the Othello rap.
With the Othello, because Othello rap tells you exactly what happens in Othello.
Where's the Holocaust? in this rap, whereas the Holocaust.
Wow.
Thank you. He talks about the people around him committing suicide. People all around me started swallowing pills, right? But, like, there's really no mention of the negative things that he caused. It's sort of kind of like a German boogaloo. So I would say, actually, this is nothing like the Othello rap, because the Othello rap tried to tell the complete story of Othello. And that is one word that is missing. Complete.
Complete. You are 100% correct.
That's a thing we're sort of struggling with in America now, is like, are we telling a full and complete story that really does us justice for going forward with a brighter, better future? That, like, some things are just like things that are lies, and some things are purposefully left out of history in order for us to think things a different way. And I'm sure Mel Brooks didn't intentionally do it like this, but unfortunately he kind of did, because he made a lazy rap song, right? He made a lazy rap song thinking that was enough satire to discuss Hitler.
Wow. Yeah, no, you are right. Mel Brooks outraged the Jewish community, pissed off a lot of Jews.
I think he would have pissed off less Jews if the Holocaust was mentioned in the fucking rap.
Yeah, that would definitely be part of it.
Like, you have to point that out. You have to point out the negative things they do. If you're going to satirize it, you have to add that in the dialogue. That's the great thing about Blazing Saddles. Seeing it's like, oh, if we didn't actually, you know, hate on our black sheriff, maybe we would see success. But it doesn't matter, because he's going to do it anyway, and we'll see success anyway. And that's sort of like the bad side of racism, because you could go so much further if you didn't have that extra process. But and that's sort of like my problem with this song specifically. And I love the producers, and I understand why some people would be upset about that. But like, and I actually like his movie To Be or Not to Be as well. Like, I get that. That actually, To Be or Not to Be, the movie, makes the producers even make more sense.
Right. We called it like Producers 1.5.
Exactly. Right. And then you sort of like get his understanding around like why Hitler should be mocked. But I feel like he actually was really safe in how he mocked Hitler. Yeah. You have people like Lil Nas X who, like,
now he goes up and he rings that bell. He rings that bell. Mel Brooks, I don't think Mel Brooks really rung that bell.
That's it, Kevin, right? Like he should have been like, it's sort of the thing that I like with Little Shop of Horrors, right? Like, a lot of people talk about how like the hidden meanings of Little Shop of Horrors, and we've talked about those too. And like, that musical rings the bell.
They definitely ring the bell.
That's a cool expression, Kevin.
It's not mine. That's Mel Brooks.
Oh, Mel Brooks didn't ring his own bell.
I forgot who told him, but that's what I got from one of the interviews in the extra features of the producer's DVD.
Yeah, sorry, Mel. With this specific song, To Be or Not to Be, you didn't ring the bell. And honestly, you probably could have rung the bell a little bit more for other producers. But I'm not trying to hate on that, because that is a hilarious show.
Yeah, I mean, I think he may have not rung the bell because of constraints that he might have felt.
I wish he would have been like as thoughtful, and I hate saying it like this, but Trey Parker or Matt Stone, you know, like, yeah. I have my issues with them. That's neither here nor there. But at the end of the day, in Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, they would instead, they would go to a censor and they'd be like, oh man, that's kind of a bit much. And they're like, oh, is it really? Oh. And then they'd go back and they'd make it worse.
Right.
And then they come back. And they're basically like psychological kung fu of the censor that they're trying to fight against, and basically end up releasing a worse film in the eyes of censor. Like, Mel, I feel like Mel is a little bit of a compromiser too, and just likes gags and having fun and doing like takes. But yeah, you're right, ringing the bell.
After this message, we'll be right back.
Yeah, initially I was mad, Roger Elizabeth Dupree exclaiming, I, for one, never realized the Third Reich meant Germany. And, you know, at first I was like, what are you, a moron? And now the more and more I look at it and I think about that specific line, I think he actually means to think that, oh, I thought you were talking about America, not Germany. For all of you that just hit that realization with me saying that, I'm sorry. That being said, for all of you that knew that ahead of time, yeah, wow, this is what waking up feels like. Nothing wrong with being woke. Why does that have to be a bad term, right? Like sleep should be the better way to be, right? Like unconscious to the world around us. Yeah, that sounds real smart.
Waking up is amazing.
Yeah. And anyway, you know, like how else are we going to do the jitterbug and wake me up before you go, go. Don't leave me hanging on like a yo-yo.
There you go. Dubris. French basically saying bris.
Dubris. A bris?
Since it's come from bris. The bliss of the bris.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, well, that's from Naked Boys.
Oh.
Naked. Where they have a whole song about the bris.
You know, you got the fraudy stuff. I wish they were more like fake it till you make it and like actually trying to do like positive things and succeed. You know, like you like try to get people along and to believe that you're the thing and get you to do the thing. And then all of a sudden you pull all the elements together. So now you're the thing, you know, like the whole idea of building a plane while you're trying to fly the plane, right? Like, and then all of a sudden, like, getting the plane together and actually flying it. That's really it. But like, you know, you can't just, you know, fake it with the intention of continually faking it and never doing anything else. It's super like Donald Trump. And we saw that even like they did a producers about like Donald Trump, like a producer sketch about like Donald Trump getting elected. Similar in story, I think.
Yeah, it makes me think that they would really love to update it and change it and make it about Trump. And it would just fit so well.
It would, because I legitimately don't think that
he's been called the stupid Hitler.
Well, it's not just that. I legitimately don't think he thought he was going to win.
That's not a look of like, great, I won. That's a look of, oh shit, I won.
If you've seen Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, sometimes you think the grift is up, and then it turns out that the grift can go on even larger, and then you're like, okay, well, I guess I have to shift what I'm doing and like figure out the next thing. But like, before we start talking about the scans part, I think we really should take a look at like sort of the idea of putting Nazi propaganda out there, because it's sort of insightful. And even though like we talked about how Mel Brooks had a little bit of a challenge trying to figure out how to do the satire around this, specifically around the song To Be or Not to Be, and like, you know, the struggles with trying to get the Jewish community to understand what he was trying to say around the producers, you know, just a comparison, because we're still like sort of like talking about the producers, Trump's and Nazism. I don't know if there's a link. There might be Nazi imagery. If you look at old Nazi imagery, there's a lot of red. These things are not accidents that happen. Like, red imagery incites people.
Red, the blood of angry men.
That's actually a really good way to talk about it too, right? It does incite. It's like the idea of, you know, the red cape for the bull. I guess that's why people use red imagery to incite people. They would use really masculine looking imagery, right? The men looked hyper masculine and the women were hyper feminine. I can accept that someone else's traditions are different than mine and they can practice them how they want to, as long as they don't interfere with my life. We all know what we like in our heroes, right? Like our heroes aren't oppressors. Like I mean, like Luke Skywalker is not an oppressor. Right. Captain Kirk is not an oppressor.
Captain Hook is an oppressor, though.
Yes. Oddly enough, he is somehow not the hero. Well, I guess, is he the hero of Hook?
No, that's still Peter Pan.
Wow. So he's not even the hero of the movie named after him, huh?
Right.
Huh. Oppressors. Who knew?
And there is a Red Scare in America.
Right. The Red Scare.
Zero Mostel was part of that.
Oh, yeah, yep. So, like, the ripples through history, right?
And so during the courtroom scene, Zero was irritated, and something was bothering him, because it was in that courthouse, in that courtroom, that he was called before the House Committee on Un-American Activities and blacklisted for working for 10 years.
Yeah, that HUAC. They'll get you because they have nothing better to do.
Yeah.
Other than scare Americans.
Now, Bialystok, the place in Poland, is known for its rampant homophobia.
Oh, is it really?
And I found this from the PBS NewsHour talking about in the wake of Holocaust Remembrance Week.
Okay.
And the Biden administration announced declaring that it was just this past April 4th.
The first week of April.
Yeah. April 4th through the 11th. And there's talk about women resistors during the Holocaust that fought back. Some of them paid with their lives, and there's been several books recently written about that, and there's a movie coming from Steven Spielberg.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I think it's like a bit of the problem with sort of the whole like fascism, Nazism, whatever, MAGA thing. They sort of couch in the idea of freedom, right? Like, I should be free to be able to discriminate against someone.
Religious liberty.
Fine. Like, you know what? If you don't want to speak to someone, if you don't want to associate with someone, that's fine. But like, if you're getting paid to treat someone as an equal, then gosh darn it, you're getting paid to do it. So either don't get the job or do the job. Like, but you know, they feel like their freedom sort of transcends that. And you know, Nazis talk about freedom all the time. Oddly, I would never associate freedom with Nazis, but I guess they did. How Hitler sold it.
Purity. World purity.
Like it's a stupid idea, because like if anyone understands natural selection and diversity and all of that, like it is actually imperative for the world to have diversification, because that's how the system is able to continue and exist.
Right? Called an ecosystem for a reason.
Like society is ridiculously necessary, and for some reason we act like it's not. Right? Because we have to rely on one another, and we all have really unique ideas and different perspectives, and maybe we can learn something from all of that. If you know there's a book in a library that will answer your question, do you not go to that library to get that book because you have a problem with that library? You know, I think everyone should stop trying to make fascism rich. Like defunding white supremacy, it's a thing. Martin Luther King talked about, Gandhi talked about, a cattle rancher that like thought 10 of his cows weren't very cool, so like they'll just do whatever and die. Who cares about them? And like, I get it. Like, we could always pretend and say like, oh no, those cows were fine. Yeah, they died, but they actually were helped out the most by that rancher.
It's because they had drugs in their system.
I mean, sure, those were the drugs that the rancher put them in the first place so that they would grow larger, but we're not going to talk about that. It's really interesting how the world used to say, don't trust the internet, and now there's a whole half of America that's saying, trust the internet on this specific insane idea, but not on anything else like coronavirus or police brutality.
If only the Nigerian prince was real and did good.
The Nigerian prince probably could have started some sort of like news outlet. It's almost ubiquitous, right? Like you can't walk into a room and say like Nigerian prince and not have everyone know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, that scam. There's always the idea of fake it till you make it, right? Donald Trump, I get it, has made his name over that idea, right? I mean, like, you know, he faked being a powerful businessman, and he made it as a powerful businessman president of the United States. So congrats to him, I guess. And sure, right, like, you know, I get a lot, he, like, billions, right? But, like, he's bankruptcy four times, right? He's been through bankruptcy four times in 1991, 1992, 2004, and 2009.
And remember, he did lose the popular vote both times and scammed people out of more money than they intended to in the first place.
Just like the scams we were mentioning before, right? Rules, right? So Trump had been repeatedly fined for breaking rules related to the operation of casinos. In 1990, with Trump Taj Mahal in trouble, Trump's father, Fred, strolled in and bought about 700 chips worth of about $3.5 million. And the purchase helped pay casino debt that was due. But because Fred Trump had no plans to gamble, the New Jersey Gaming Commission ruled that it was a loan that violated operating rules. Trump paid a $30,000 fine in the end, and the loan didn't prevent a bankruptcy because the place still went bankrupt, right? Because we said in 91.
Springtime for Trumpler and white supremacists too.
Yeah, and well, you know, he and his father didn't allow black people to live in sort of their housing, and they actually got pushed back against that, right? So that's sort of a part of their history. But let's keep it scam related because it's the producers.
Springtime for Trumpler and real scammers too.
He also, like, so you know how Donald Trump wrote a bunch of books?
Don't be stupid, be a smarty, come and join the MAGA party.
Don't join them. $55,000 buying his own book, Crippled America, How to Make America Great Again, so that he could raise his status in book sales. And of course, who can forget about Trump University, right? In 2005, a university to teach his real estate development secrets. Students had to pay about $35,000, some after being sucked in by slick free seminars, to learn how to get rich. In fact, Trump had little to do with the curriculum or the instructors.
They would get to meet the man himself, Donald Trump.
Like, and it's just really sad that, like, consistently we see him trying to hoodwink and bamboozle and snooker and steal people's money. And people don't get mad at him.
Because they watch it from their idiot box.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, a part of it is, like, Fox News saying that it's okay that Donald Trump is stealing from you. The Trump University shut down in 2010, and in November 2016, Trump agreed to settle a series of lawsuits related to the school for $25 million.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because innocent people pay out for lots of things, right? Because they're innocent.
Yeah, yeah, that's the whole trick around pardons, too, right? When you accept a pardon, you also accept guilt. He legitimately doesn't like paying people. He would get people to work like 80% of a job, right? And then he would fire that team and say, you did an awful job, ask for a refund, take his money back, and then hire a different team to do it for less. Since 80% of the work was already done, he would pay them less and then, you know, have them finish the job. I actually, like, one of my friends actually worked this. I'm not going to keep him a name, but, like, he worked for Donald Trump in construction. He firsthand felt it. Like, yeah, we did the job and we were almost done with the job. And he said, we did a crappy job. It was terrible. He fired us and said that, you know, we, like, he wasn't giving, he wanted his money back. And then he hired someone else to finish the job, not change the job, finish the job and do it for less because he didn't have to do all the work. There are many contractors that filed $5 million in liens against Trump's new hotel in Washington, alleging he had not paid them for services rendered. And of course, who can forget the wonderful good time play of the Trump Foundation?
It's like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, right?
No, it's not. No.
They're both rich.
It's fun show drama. Kevin is completely aware.
Bill is trying to help our world out,
yeah,
for the better,
and that's sort of like why the, like, I assume there are some people in the Q realm who believe that, like, Bill Gates
is a lizard or something like that.
If you truly believe someone is an alien, you truly believe that, what is that person's motive for existing then, if that person is in fact an alien? Trying to give people solar isn't the worst thing in the world, right? Trying to make renewable energy isn't the worst thing in the world. Trying to make the planet a better place to live in so the water isn't poison and that, like, there aren't, like, ravaging fires or ridiculous hurricanes every year, that's not a bad thing.
Won't someone think of the children?
Right.
I mean, really think of the children.
Like, legitimately, not just, like,
the American people. The children. The people who we blanketly say things for, but don't really care about.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that. You know, and that brings us back to what you were talking about earlier, Kevin, around the idea of Trump was trying to sell his big lie and basically convince people to give him money. Give me money, give me money, because, you know, I'm the only truth in your life which is unfortunate. If Donald Trump is your truth, I'm really sorry. You should find a new truth.
We have faith that you will find a new truth.
I do. You can do it. It has to come out of love, though. It always has to come out of love. That being said, he basically got all these people to give him money. And, you know, we're learning more about this. But, like, he put a checkbox at the bottom of the thing. And tricky to understand. I get that.
Super sketch.
Force you down the road of recurring payment. I wouldn't even be talking about this if, like, if everybody was 100% cool on it. But because of like, people were unexpectedly hit by these charges and really surprised by it, he became what, like, the number one, like, fraud case in America, like, at the end of 2020. How, it's not an accident that he went from being, like, you know, regular Donald Trump to the biggest scam artist of the year. Instead of giving your trust and love to someone who obviously doesn't care about you or your money, you know, maybe find out what the other guy has to offer.
As World War II approached, a dozen Broadway dramas addressed the rise of Nazism in Europe and the issue of American non-intervention. The most successful was Lillian Hellman's Watch on the Rhine, April in 1941, to a movie 2 years later with Bette Davis and Paul Lucas, who won a Best Actor Award from the Academy, Golden Globes, National Board of Review, and the New York Film Critics Circle. He was born Jewish, was later adopted, giving him his last name, and arrived in Hollywood in 1927, same year that Showboat premiered at the Ziegfeld Theater, dealing with racial themes, where Paul Lucas originated the role in Broadway for Watch on the Rhine.
If you're going to talk about fraud, you have to talk about Charles Ponzi, right? The Ponzi scheme. Yeah. That's where the name Ponzi scheme comes from, obviously, Charles Ponzi. And the scam is, what did you say earlier? The scam is to...
Basically, it is robbing Peter to pay Paul. And then you take the money that you owe Paul and you borrow it against what you owe Adele.
Or even Sarah. Yeah. And it just keeps going and going and going. So the most famous artist around this, obviously, in modern history is Bernie Madoff, but Charles Ponzi, just to compare, raked in $15 million over the course of 18 months by promising outrageous short-term profits of 50 to 100% when he was, in fact, shuffling money from one person to another to the next while keeping most of it for himself.
Hey, you want to get rich? Come with me. Come with me and get rich quick, buddy.
And so Ponzi was convicted in 1920 and imprisoned and paroled and continued running other scams, which is amazing to think about it. That's what I assume Donald Trump would do. But anyway, and was imprisoned again. Ponzi was, and finally was deported to his native Italy. So Bernie Madoff actually became the king of Ponzi schemes in recent memory, and he died at the age of 82 before the end of his 150-year prison term.
Like he was going to finish that anyway?
This is believed to be the largest in Wall Street fraud. Over the years, coin-imported trustees laboring to unwind the scheme had recovered more than $14 billion of an estimated $17.5 billion for investors put into Madoff businesses at the time of Madoff's arrest. And fake account statements were telling clients they had holdings worth $60 billion. At the time of all of this, you know, Bernie Madoff was had a net worth of $823 million.
He was flying high. Yeah, nothing was going to touch him. He was so Icarus.
Yeah, that's a legitimate thing to say. He was definitely very Icarus-y in that scenario. Madoff pleaded guilty in March 2009 to securities fraud and other charges, saying that he was deeply sorry and ashamed. I don't really feel cool about the idea of like how hard we punish sort of financial crimes versus like violent crimes. Like I feel like, you know, you do a violent crime and you're likely to walk, especially if you're a police officer.
Breaking news.
Or, you know, like a lot of anything, but like, you know, financial crimes, a paid part, like you don't pay parking tickets, you know, you don't get your registration done. Yeah. Like that could be a death sentence in this country. That's weird, right? It's weird that we value money so much here. I'd hate to bring it back back to discrimination and whatnot, but I'm assuming in this like whole idea of Ponzi schemes and like a lot of these things that usually black people are going to be at the bottom of that Ponzi scheme. They're going to be convinced to come in and they're going to be the ones usually knocked off, right? And like I feel like, you know, like thinking about all these different scams, like it usually affects people like that. Like, you know, the disenfranchised usually are the ones that get scraped off the quickest and the fastest, either through like, you know, fraud or government services, right? Like the elderly get scammed way too much.
Here, you want a reverse mortgage?
But I mean, like, you know, and that's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, this age discrimination, sex discrimination, all of this is like, it is easy. Like fraud like this, financial fraud like this is just like really makes it easy for people to do those sort of things. The greatest fraud, which is the white supremacy patriarchy that sort of like splits us up and allows like, you know, vultures to like feed on us and like not try to take care of the flock and like make sure everybody is like, you know, doing well and being successful is a fraud, you know,
because trickle down, right?
Trying to bring it back to focus around producers, because like, you know what, if they had done a musical right, I think Bialystok and Bloom initially could have been successful producers, right? Because they knew how to bring people together and make a good show. Yeah. And if they would have taken their thing seriously and worked hard, I think they would have been a much more awesome force for good.
But just wanted to drink champagne till he pukes.
That's the thing, right? Like, if you think that's what a producer does, then that's all, like, I mean, like, it's all about money. The real true people of theater, like the people that grind out and make it happen, the people that become a community and a force for change, like relying on each other and like building each other up so they can make the best show, because that's the thing, right? Like the thing that you use to like help create a emotional experience, catharsis, like a connection with people, that's the thing that matters. And like theater does that, I think, above all else. And like, you know, like there's racism and sexism, homophobia, transphobia, all of that all around this country, all around this world. But I think in theater, we just don't do it as much. I'm sorry. Like, people might disagree. They understand the power of community, right? And it can't be a specific community, because everyone has skills and talents they can bring together to the pool to make the show amazing.
Yes. We're stronger together.
Don't be Bialystok and Bloom. Support and cultivate the things you believe in with the goal in mind that this thing will help your future, our future, society carry on. Do your research. Don't present dishonesty as fact. Do your research. And of course, it is okay to make mistakes, but making amends is the most important thing.
Yeah, and to make the connection even stronger between Trump and Hitler, Jimmy Kimmel Live
did a very special sketch. He got Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane to reprise their characters, Max Bialystok and Leo Bloom.
Well, it was basically like Springtime for Hitler, but
for us getting all trumped.
Yes. You've been trumped.
Yeah, no, definitely. So basically, like, right after the inauguration.
Yeah, about 1 month.
Yeah, definitely. They released this little sketch basically talking about how Donald Trump, and it seems very likely that this is possible. Like, I felt like Donald Trump didn't think he was going to win, but I knew because of his popularity in news media. When you see someone every day, you recognize their name. That is why dead celebrities do better than normal politicians, because people know their name. Donald Trump spends all this time raising money, not thinking he was going to win, I guarantee. And when he won, it was like, oh, like probably continued to raise money, right? Because he had that Girl Scout troop. Was it like a Girl Scout troop that he didn't pay?
Veterans.
Well, veterans, yeah. Because like he raised money for veterans and didn't pay them out and like was sued over that. And then there was like a few other things as well. But end, right? At the end, he's still scamming them, right? Because we talked about that.
Get you going in, get you going out.
Like, honestly, I think Donald Trump is the quintessential scam artist, right? Like, he has the most amount of bankruptcies, right? Like, out of someone who has no business doing that with the level of money they have, right? Yeah. Like, I think it's funny how, like, John Oliver did.
Sunday, April 18th episode of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, they talked about all of the pitfalls and the politics involved.
Like bankruptcy, yeah. Yeah, chapter 7 and chapter 13, definitely. But like throughout that video, he's saying how, like, you know, there's such a stigma, you know, and those are irresponsible people and all of that. And like, well, we hired one of those people as president.
Thank you very much for tuning in to the third and final part of The Producers, Fraud and Nazis. And we will be coming back next time with Singing in the Rain. Just singing in the rain.
It should be a really fun time. It's one of my favorite musicals, definitely. It really defined sort of the Hollywood era, like silent pictures to talkies, and also showing how silly and sort of performative Hollywood is in general.
So, and thank you for tuning in, because we understand we are trying to do these as much as we can. So there will be some breaks, but thank you for sticking with us and tuning in to Talking Musical History.
Yeah, thank you guys for all listening.
I am Kevin.
And I'm Chris.
See you back next time.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, have you had a chance to listen to our last podcast about Springtime for Hitler?
Listen to it? I edited it. And I, for one, for instance, never realized the American apartheid has been happening for generations.
Yeah, how about that? So we'll look up more?
Look up more? Of course not. The world is so depressed, with events that got us stressed, it's hard to get a listener in this way. Shows should be more witty. Shows should be more gitty. Shows should be more, what's the word?
Gay?
Exactly. No matter what you do on her waves, keep it light, keep it bright, keep it gay. Whether insurrection or outbreaks for days, don't complain, it's a pain, keep it gay.
People want laughter when listening to shows. Instead, we bring history that they need to know. A happy ending can come in this way. 76 is a hit.
Cause they cut out truth shit.
Keep it light, keep it bright, keep it gay.
And as always on our podcast is Chris, our sound recorder.
Hi, keep it hairy, keep it sweary, keep it gay. And our creator, Kevin.
Hello, keep it chewy, keep it truthy, keep it gay.
We're clever, creative, it's our job, you see. That research is perfect to show history.
Kevin, I couldn't agree more. So more venturing down the rabbit hole?
I thought we were going to make a show of silly entertainment. Shows like Mamma Mia, Brigadoon, or Painter Wagon.
Why not? Think of the community impact.
No.
Think of the prestige.
No, no, no.
Think of the Webby.
Webby, 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 Webby.
Oh! Oh my God, Kevin is having a stroke of genius!
I can see it. People going into commutes to work.
Kevin and Chris present history.
A long, long commute that has lots of stops along the way.
Kevin and Chris present history.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.